Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
Got a little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
That's right, it's time for a news update with Tommy Brown here on Triple M footy. My name's Rudy, I've tracked Tommy to the studio. I think it's fair to say we're going to be Saints heavy today, Tommy.
Yep, Thursday night football, if you lose by 86 points despite their injuries in the five-day break, you're in the gun for at least a couple of days. The Saints will be hoping someone else takes the spotlight this weekend, perhaps Collingwood. But it was a big night for St Kilda last night. Big night for Richmond. They've hit their straps. It looks like 86-point winners. From St Kilda's perspective, some big talking points. I'll start with Brett Ratner. I was at the press conference post-game. He emphasised that Brad Hill won't be dropped. I think Mick Malthouse suggested Brad Hill should be dropped this morning. And he says it's a bit like snakes and ladders at St Kilda at the moment. It's sort of one step forward and three steps back, and they find themselves in a pretty precarious situation.
Yes, they. A lot of the chat's been about the lack of effort, but I feel St Kilda sort of want to highlight a lack of personnel.
Yeah, so the lack of effort. I mean, there was a stat I think Fox showed at one stage where it was 21-1 clearances in Richmond's favour between about the 18-minute mark of the second quarter and the 25-minute mark of the third quarter, give or take. Just check those times, but. So obviously that was a disgust and it was sort of described as insipid. I asked Brett Ratten about that last night, but I think he was more concerned about getting smashed around the clearances. And I think the Saints are worried that the injuries are taking their toll. So if you go through these injuries in terms of guys that would be in their best starting 22, Gresham, Jones, Ryder, Marshall, Geary, Patton, even Hanbury and Frawley, I think they'd plan to be in their best 22. And I think St Kilda feel it's forcing them to play some guys that perhaps they didn't anticipate they'd be playing at this stage of the season. And I don't think St Kilda think it's an effort issue. I think they think it's partly a personnel issue. And I think the other issue at St Kilda is they're heavily reliant on these ruckmen. Now, Marshall and Ryder, and some of their midfield elevate to B-plus or A midfielders when the ruckmen are playing. But when they're not playing, guys like Dunstan, Bytel, Ross, Steele, obviously I think he's an outlier, but Long, Sinclair, and even Higgins, guys they ran through the middle last night, none of those guys are A-grade midfielders compared to other A-grade midfielders, and that's the concern for St Kilda at the moment. But I think they know that. They know long-term they've still got to recruit a few more players.
Yep, they sure do, and it'd be helpful if the guys they did recruit, if they were getting a little more production out of, say, Brad Hill is one of them. Dan Hanbury obviously can't get on the park. Yeah, Brad Hill is the big chat, really. But like you said, Ratten was pretty...
He backed him last night. Yeah. He said he won't drop him. I don't think he can really afford to drop him. And Brad Hill was always the finisher. He was never really brought in as the grunt player on the inside, in my opinion. I think there'll be some discussion about whether the hub last year was an outlier that year for St Kilda. They were up in Noosa. They were very happy in Noosa. They were well-performing there. And I think they sort of had the rub of the green from a Queensland sort of hub perspective. So they might have to shake off whether that was a bit of an aberration. Obviously, we've discussed the impact of these injuries, and there's also obviously now going to be discussion about whether they can even make the finals. They've got Port, Hawthorn, Gold Coast, Bulldogs, and Geelong coming up. I think they've also got six or seven or so interstate trips this year, so they're no guarantee to make the finals, and that would be bitterly disappointing for St Kilda. There's no excuses in this business. 86-point loss. St Kilda to progress can't necessarily worry about injuries. I know they're a valid excuse. But at some point, to change the culture of the club, you've got to start winning and be more competitive in those types of matches.
Well, yeah, especially when you've clearly recruited for the current time as well. They're not in a rebuild, are they? They're looking to go now.
Yeah. Mm. It's hard asking Brett Ratten difficult questions post-game because I absolutely love him and I'm convinced he's a very, very good coach. Having said that, it was a tough press conference last night and they'll keep coming up if you keep losing by 86 points.
Yes, 86 points is the number of the day, 86. Speaking of the Saints, you've got an update for me on one of their stars with a contract and another star of the comp.
Yeah, Billings is out of contract. I think there's some negotiations going on in the background there between St Kilda and his manager, Paul Connors. I think at this stage, Billings wants big money. He's been on big money, relatively big money, for some time now. I think St Kilda now have probably got a situation where there's quite a lot of guys that want reasonable money. So they're just working through that. I don't think anything's close there at the moment. And on Patrick Cripps, Kane Little, the Blues CEO, came out, I think, Sunday week ago and suggested that contract is close. I don't think it's as close as Carlton are letting on. Now, just watch that next couple of weeks. We sort of thought that a deal was imminent, like 1 or 2 weeks away. I don't think it's that close as my information. Not suggesting there's necessarily any problems, but it's not that close.
Do you know what the holdup is?
No.
No. Okay. All right. Just on the player movement stuff, Geelong and Stephen Wells, it appears that Stephen Wells, long-time recruiter there, the architect in many ways of their success over the last 15 or so years, it seems he's stepped down.
This was a surprise. Tom Morris reported this story. Wells has been, I think, telling some other club recruiters in the last couple of weeks that he wants some time away. The official line out of the club is that he's done, obviously, a wonderful job. There's no doubt about that. But just during COVID last year, he sort of started to, you know, enjoy life of outside of football, which you do when you're not sort of at games week in, week in, week out, checking on talent. And he might step away from it. I think Geelong hoped that he'd still retain some type of recruiting role. Andrew Mackey and Selwood.
Scott's at Collingwood. I think it's Troy
Selwood.
Troy, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to do it together in the meantime and probably going forward. So they're well, you know, placed there in terms of a succession plan. One source suggested to me that Chris Scott and Wellesley, perhaps in the end, didn't see eye to eye as much as they used to. Chris Scott runs a pretty tight ship, so I'd be surprised if that's the case. But, you know, he's been there for a long time and, you know, maybe he just wants to do something else.
Yeah, and I tell you, putting my Geelong fan hat on, I would imagine that they should put up a big statue of Stephen Wells at Cadinia Park and pop a blonde wig on it because the man deserves it. He's a legend.
They paid a lot, though, for Cameron. I don't think there's any lingering issues there. Cameron's only been there for 4 weeks. He hasn't played at all yet. Mm-hmm. But they gave up 3 first-round picks and got 2 back.
They got 2 sort of second-round picks next season. I think one of them's Essendon, one of them's GWS's.
So. It's hard to believe that his departure or pending departure would be linked to Cameron.
I wouldn't. I'd be absolutely stunned. There's been no suggestion of that I've seen. Let's chat a bit of VFL. You're going down to watch Richmond play today.
My mates from the kebab shop and the people on social media will laugh because my kebab post did go viral last year. Sydney Stack and Coleman Jones. Of course, Stack most recently has been over in Perth with other controversies, they are playing in the VFL today. So it'll be interesting to see how they go.
Yes, indeed it will. And you'll be there?
Definitely be there. I'm going to go down there and have a look now.
Yes, good stuff. Before we go, Tommy, you've got a couple more things to run through. I just want you to break down for us in layman's terms sort of the off-field dramas at Collingwood.
So when Eddie left, they appointed 2 interim presidents, a guy called Peter Murphy, who did the review a couple of years ago that saw Gary Pert eventually depart. And then he was appointed the interim CEO. And he was also involved with the commissioning of the Do Better report and the appointment of those particular authors. And there's another guy called Mark Corder, who's been the vice president of Collingwood for a long time. And Murphy and Corder are the interim co-presidents. 8 weeks ago, they indicated that in about 8 weeks, they'd put forward a suggestion on who would be the permanent Collingwood president. Since then, neither Murphy or Corder have spoken publicly on what's going on behind the scenes at Collingwood. It's important and becoming increasingly pressing because, whether you agree with what Eddie did in the end or not, he's a huge force down there and he's left a bit of a vacuum of leadership. And B, the club's got to make important decisions on guys like Nathan Buckley and what to do with the coaching future. If you keep Bucks, what does that look like? What's the sort of support he needs? If you get rid of Bucks, who do you look to? Who do you go and negotiate with? Who do you speak to? Whether it be Sam Mitchell, Alistair Clarkson, Ross Lyon, Kingsley, those guys, you've got to go and speak to their managers and work out what's going on and what sort of process is involved. But what has happened is there's been no sort of, leadership or public leadership from these two. And what I've reported is that the board is split on the issue of a successor. The reason that is because there's 7 board seats. Eddie's vacated one. And it looks like Murphy has got approximately half the support and Corder's got half the support. And in layman's terms, can't form majority government. The other curveball in all this is that Christine Holgate, who's been in the media this week, the former Australia Post boss who's blueing with the Prime Minister, they've said to her, well, you go and have a look at who the appropriate vacant directors are and also come back to us with some suggestions on potential presidents. It's hard. There's a few problems with that. A, whoever you fill the casual vacancy with is probably going to side with either Murphy or Corder. And B, in terms of finding casual presidents, there's no sign that Murphy or Corder are going to give up this intent to become president. So what it's left is a situation of which we don't have a lot of visibility on, but there's been some discussion this week on some other suitable external people who might want to form their own board, and maybe Collingwood members could call an EGM and start to try and vote on it themselves. That's an extraordinary general meeting. So it's a stalemate that's occurring at a time when there's bad form on the field, I guess it's on the back of that Giants loss, and also uncertainty over Nathan Buckley's future. So there's going to be a lot of focus on their performance tonight. And I think it's fair to say that Collingwood members are getting a bit antsy because they voted with their feet last week, only 29,000 against the Giants. And I know that Mark Anderson, the CEO, I think I've heard from some sources, is also worried that the members want some more certainty.
Mm. Yeah, very interesting times at Collingwood. So to break it down, they've got a hung parliament 2010 style, and they need a Rob Oakeshott type to come in and throw his weight behind one or the other. Yeah, it's a long time ago.
It's a bit like that.
Julia Gillard times, isn't it?
And whether someone else rides in from the sunset to try and sort it all out and unify all the factions, because Collingwood had all this factional stuff years ago before Eddie, and it took someone of Eddie's sort of personality to unite it all. And as soon as you take that out of the room, it's as flat as a tack down there.
Yeah, they're a big watch, aren't they, this year? Collingwood, plenty going on. Speaking of Bucks, big weekend for him, it's fair to say. They badly need a win tonight against West Coast. But who else is it a big weekend for, Tommy?
So big night tonight for Bucks, and I want to see the response from guys like DeGoey and also Roughhead and Grundy, who you sort of hear are a little bit antsy about what's going on at Collingwood. I think Tom Morris reported that earlier this week, so see how those guys go tonight. I don't think Bucks and DeGoey are on the world's best terms. Nothing wrong with it, but I've just heard this,
a little bit of friction. Yep.
Yeah, correct. And big weekend for the Bombers. Obviously, they're going to face Joe Danaher. It'll be interesting to see if Essendon's run of good form can continue. They almost knocked off Sydney last week. And I think a big weekend for the Blues as well. It'll be really interesting to see how they perform tomorrow. Their injury list is a huge concern, and I think members are a bit antsy about that too.
Mm. Yeah, and Port also have a big injury list, possibly just a touch vulnerable at this point, Tommy. So interesting to see where it goes from there. What's your weekend in footy look like, mate?
So no Friday night footy tonight because it's over in Perth, and I think our broadcast, the game starts at 8:10, so I won't do the debate pre-game.
Yep.
I'm on Sunday footy. My news update, I think, goes here around 12, and obviously at halftime on the coverage. So I'll be madly chasing stories. And I think I've got tomorrow off, mate.
Lovely. Spend a bit of time with the young fella.
Yes, Henry and Tara.
Lovely
and
stuff.
We've got all sorts of jobs to do at home. The list grows during the week.
Can imagine it.
A bloke this morning, upset that we left the recycling bin out the back, brought it around the front. So that'll be the first thing I'll do tomorrow morning, relocate the recycling bin.
Now that's real domestic home life area.
They rang the buzzer and there was no one at the front door and they brought it around the street.
That's real passive aggressive neighbour stuff. I love it. But yeah, stay tuned to Triple M Footy all over the weekend. We've got obviously the massive game tonight, West Coast Collingwood. Listen to us wherever you want to listen to us, wherever you can listen to us. Keep clicking back to the Triple M Footy socials and we'll see you next time.